السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. رسالة الشريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. As I arrived to Jummah today, rushing as usual, trying to get here as quickly as possible, with this kind of down feeling that, oh no, I'm late again. As I enter the masjid, I see, and even before I got in, I saw a lot of familiar faces. These are all second Jummah people, and they're still outside. So I got this sense of relief thinking, alhamdulillah, I'm not late. The first Jummah overrun, and we're just about getting started, alhamdulillah. And that happens, doesn't it? You get somewhere, you think you're getting late, and then you realize that there's other people still coming, and it gives you a sense of relief. You feel a little bit better. And Allah does this with introducing Ramadan. When Allah introduces Ramadan to you and me, when Ramadan comes, when fasting comes, when Taraweeh comes, Quranic recitation comes, and the laws of Islam come about, sometimes living in this world, we look at other people, and this thought sometimes crosses our mind, oh, they've got it easy. They don't have rules. They don't have regulations. They don't have restrictions. They don't have to stay hungry. Well, that's not really a right comparison because they're not practicing their religion. When they did practice their religion, I'm talking about the Ahlul Kitab, the Quran is telling you, Allah introduces Ramadan to you and me like this. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kutiba alaykumus siyam, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, why? La'allakum tattaqun. Allah is telling you, you're not alone. It's not just you that's fasting. The people before you, I made them go through it. Oh, now we feel, look, there is no one who understands you better than Allah. There is no one who knows you better than Allah. There is no one who reads you better than Allah. Allah knows what you're going through. Allah knows your experiences. Allah knows what you're going to feel tomorrow, what you felt yesterday, what you're thinking now. Allah gets you. Sometimes you might think, oh, my parents don't get me. Okay, my friends don't understand me. People don't get what I'm going through. But Allah knows. Allah created you and Allah knows you. And Allah is telling you, Allah knows how you're going to think, that you're going to have this thought in your mind. How come everyone else gets it so easy and we've got it hard and that month is coming again and we're going to have to fast? Allah is telling you, guess what guys? They had to fast as well. Before you, the Christians, before them, the Jews, they also had fasting. And their fasts were much harder. They were much more longer. The rules were much more difficult. You've got it the easiest. Under this ayah, Imam Alusi in Tafsir Ruhul Ma'ani writes that the Christians were ordained to fast 30 days in Ramadan, or whichever month it was. So they fasted, and the rules of their fasting were much more strict. And then a Christian king passed away. So the people decided, the Christian people decided, let's add another 10 days and make it 40. From themselves, this wasn't divine. So now they are fasting for 40 days. And then another king passed away. So they added another 7 days. So now they're fasting for 47 days. Some people then thought, why don't we just make it 50? And they started fasting for 50 days. Allah is telling you and me that you are not the only ones who have had this rule. People before you also who followed the religion of Allah, they also fasted as well. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kutiba alaykumus siyam, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqun. Now Ramadan is on the doorstep. Ramadan is on the doorstep. Every year Ramadan comes. And alhamdulillah, every year we fast. We stand in Taraweeh. We recite the Quran. We give in charity. We make dua. We try to become better as Muslims and as individuals, as humans. This happens year in, year out. But why? Why do we do it? What is it all about? Who do we do it for? Is it, like, for a lot of us, it's Ramadan. Like, obviously, it's Ramadan. That's what you do in Ramadan. When Ramadan comes, you fast. When Ramadan ends, you don't fast. It's one of those things. But is that it? Is this going to be another Ramadan where Ramadan comes? Why are you fasting? I ask you. Oh, everybody's fasting in my family, so I'm fasting as well. Why are you coming for Taraweeh? Well, everyone's praying, so I'm praying as well. Why are you reciting more Quran? Well, isn't that the thing you're supposed to do? My question is, what is your why? Why? And the only way we can find out is by going back to that being who has told us to fast. Who has told you to fast? Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we don't know who is Allah, number one. Number two, how Allah works, number two. And what Allah wants from us, number three. We're going to have a lot of difficulty in life. We're going to have a lot of difficulty. People who are going through the most difficulties in life, it's because of A, not knowing who is Allah. Number two, not knowing how Allah works. And number three, not knowing what Allah wants from us. When a person understands who is Allah, number two, how Allah works and what He wants from us, it doesn't mean we won't go through difficulties, but we will have a different understanding of it altogether. Even our difficulties will be meaningful. We will find meaning in our troubles. We will find a lot of depth in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we will see life very differently. Where do we derive our values from? Who are we? Okay, the world is telling you one thing, but our values are derived from the Quran. So we have to go back to the Quran. Who told you to fast? Who told you about Ramadan? It's in the Quran. If I try to understand Ramadan without going to the Quran, my understanding of Ramadan and fasting is going to be skewed. It won't be a correct understanding. It might be a traditional one, just because I've just seen my family do it every single year. So that's my understanding. Now, whatever they've passed on to me, that might be right, that might not be right. So we have to go to the Quran. We have to understand. Allah is the one who told you and me to fast. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Why do we need to fast? So if we go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know what? Allah's covered everything. Because Allah knows, Allah created you and me. He created our minds. He created our way of understanding. He knows what kind of questions, what kind of feelings, what kind of thoughts you're going to have in regards to this month and fasting. So in these few ayat of the Quran, Allah has covered every angle to ensure that He has an answer prepared for you, to get you primed and prepared for this holy month of Ramadan, which is literally on the doorstep. The first thing we understand when we read the verses of the Quran that speak about fasting and Ramadan, the first thing we learn about our Allah is Allah is showing you and me that Allah is extremely reasonable. Allah is, what is He? Extremely reasonable. Do you know when you have to make a deal with somebody and people can be very unreasonable and you're like having to really, really fight with them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we learn, number one, especially when it comes to Ramadan and all of our Islam and all our dealings with Allah, Allah is extremely reasonable. Sometimes you have a particular situation of yours. You turn up somewhere and you can't really say, look, I'm going through this, so can I have an exception? They're going to say, get lost. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what kind of person you are. One rule for all. With Allah, it's not like that. Allah knows. Allah understands. And Allah is extremely reasonable. And we find this in the Quran. First of all, He starts with a direct address. Look at the verses. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Allah speaks to you directly. And Allah calls you, O believer. Allah's addressing you. Look at beautiful title Allah has given to you. Rather than calling you, Oi. It doesn't say that. Allah gives you a respectable, honorable title. Allah is speaking to you. Your most reasonable Allah is speaking to you. And He's saying to you, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O believer. This is a direct, you know, Quran is a communication, isn't it? Quran is not just a set of words that are to be recited. Yes, that's one goal of the Quran, to recite the Quran. But Quran is a communication where your Allah is speaking to you. Look what He's saying to you. Allah's addressing you personally, directly. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. O believer, O mu'min, O Muslim. Allah is speaking to you. And then He's telling you, kutiba alaykumus siyam. Before you think that, why do we Muslims have to fast? How come they don't have to do anything? How come they don't have rules? Guess what Allah is telling you? كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Allah says, fasting has been made ordained upon you. It's fard. Now immediately someone can think, when Allah is saying, in a nice way, He's calling you, O believer, and then He's saying, fasting is ordained upon you, you might think, that's a bit harsh. Like, and Allah says, no, it's not harsh, because the people before you, they had to do it as well. So it's not just one rule for you, one rule for them. No, everyone had the same rule. They also fasted, you're also fasting. And automatically you feel better now, don't you? You realize, oh, this is not just addressed to me. The rule doesn't just apply to me. It applies to everybody. You turn up somewhere and they say, oh, no, you're not. It's not in date. It's not valid. It's expired. And you think like, are you being unreasonable with me? Why are you dealing with me in this way? And then you come across another person. Their application has been rejected as well. Oh, how come? Oh, they said, oh, it's expired. You feel better all of a sudden. You think, oh, it's not just me. It's one rule for all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being so reasonable here. He's saying, look, this is not just for you. It's the people before you as well. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu is an attention of love. And he says that the people before you also had to fast. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi in Bayan al-Quran, he says, Al-umur ash-shaqqa idha ammat tabat. When something is difficult, but then it becomes common. Everyone's doing it. It becomes easier, doesn't it? Right? Something's difficult when only you have to do it. But when you find out everyone's doing it, everyone has to do it, automatically it becomes easier. The ulama say this is tathyibul li anfus, to make it more palatable for you. Allah speaks to you in this way, so you understand it so much better. Now, the question is, what do you want to achieve from this Ramadan? What is it that Allah has given this Ramadan for? Why is it He is asking us to fast in Ramadan? So Allah says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Allah says, perhaps, by you going through the fasting during Ramadan, perhaps, gradually, you may attain a form of taqwa. That's what Allah is saying. Perhaps, by you going through Ramadan, it's not just because I'm fasting because everybody's fasting. No. Allah is saying He wants us to go through this training of fasting in Ramadan so that gradually, not overnight, it doesn't happen overnight. And this is the mistake a lot of us make, is try to achieve. You know, Ramadan did not come until 15 years later after the starting of Islam. In the second year of Hijrah. 13 years in Makkah, there was no fasting. Then the Muslims migrated to Medina Munawwara. 2 years later, you have Ramadan being established. And in the beginning, it wasn't necessary for people to fast. It was a gradual process. So fasting and taqwa is a gradual process. Now the incorrect translation we normally do for taqwa is the fear of Allah. And that sounds scary. But that's not the accurate translation. Let's simplify it. Taqwa means being conscious of Allah. And that's what I want you guys to start Ramadan with. Are we going to start this Ramadan, Allah, the being that is telling you to fast, who you are fasting for, He's telling you the reason for your fast. He doesn't want you to stay hungry for no reason. Why are you fasting? Why are you fasting this Ramadan? Allah's telling you, if we don't go back to the Quran, we won't have a goal, we won't have an objective. We'll just be going round and round in circles, carrying out rituals which are meaningless. Islam is very meaningful. There's a lot of essence in Islam. It's productive. It gives you so much if you understand it. So Allah is saying your idea of fasting this Ramadan is supposed to be you want to gradually attain taqwa. And it's going to happen gradually. So on day one, you can't just go in there, and I'm not undermining anyone carrying out good deeds. Do as many good deeds as you can. But make it a gradual process. So day two of Ramadan should be better than day one. Day three better than day two. Day four better. And then the 10th day should be better than the first 9. And this is how it should go. Normally we go like this, right? And then it goes like this. Then towards the last 10 days it goes a bit up again. And towards Eid it goes like way down. where we're supposed to be at our highest level. So a gradual process. Allah wants to see a gradual process where each day we're trying to become better than the day before. And this is how gradually we will get some part of taqwa, a gradual growth throughout the month of Ramadan. Now, because Allah knows you so well and Allah understands you so well, the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to you, Ayyaman ma'dudat. Do you know what that means? Meaning, the ulama say al-qalilat. Meaning, Allah says, it's just a few days. Ramadan is just a few days. What does Allah call it? Just a few days. The ulama, they mention, to determine whether something is little in number, it should be something that people can count. If you can't count it, it shows it's so much that you can't keep count. You tell me, is there any other time in the entire year where every single Muslim knows what the date is, what the day is, how many we've kept, how many are left? Can you see? This is a manifestation of the Quranic ayah, Ayyaman ma'dudat. No other month, no other time in the year is everyone so clued on to the date. So Allah is telling you, Ayyaman, Allah knows how you think. That when you're fasting, you think, how long is it going to be? How long is the imam going to take? My feet are hurting. My back's hurting. I'm thirsty. Allah is telling you, whenever in Ramadan, whether you're fasting and it feels long, you're standing in Taraweeh, it feels long, you're reading the Quran and you think, when's the end of the surah going to come? Repeat this to yourself. Ayyaman ma'dudat. Say after me. Ayyaman ma'dudat. Ayyaman ma'dudat. It means a few days. That's it. And tell me if I'm wrong, at the end of every Ramadan, what's the line we say to everybody? Ramadan went very... There you go. So instead of saying it now, at the end of Ramadan, I want you to remember that each and every single day of Ramadan. That's what Allah is telling you. Before Ramadan starts, make your mind, it's just a few days. That's it. It's going to end. It's so short-lived. You're standing in Taraweeh and it's paining you. And just tell yourself, it's only a few days. It's going to be over soon. This is Allah speaking to you. Ayyaman ma'dudat. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to telling us, Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an. That the month of Ramadan, the speciality, why is Ramadan so special? Because Ramadan is the month of the Qur'an. Shahrul Qur'an. This is the month in which the Qur'an was revealed. And regarding that, Allah says that the Qur'an is such hudal linnas, it's guidance. You want guidance, you're going to get it from the Qur'an in Ramadan. Bayyinatin minal huda wal furqan. It's going to open pathways for you. Do you want pathways? Have you got obstacles in your life? Are you stuck somewhere? Are you going through a problem? Are you in a dark place? Have you been struggling with something in your life? Quran tells you this is going to be a furqan. It's going to be an opening. When we struggle in life, we've been told to make jihad. Yes, the J word, jihad. But here it doesn't mean jihad as the world is explaining to you. It means to struggle. When you're standing in Taraweeh against your will and desire, this is your jihad. When you're reciting the Quran, this is your jihad. When you're staying thirsty in the day, this is your jihad. Every time you make a jihad for Allah, Allah opens a path for you. You have to believe that. Don't stand there complaining. Stand there happy knowing that I'm going through this struggle, which definitely means Allah's opening a way. Because Allah promises in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Whoever strives for our cause, Allah says, I definitely open pathways for them. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. With every difficulty and challenge, there is definitely an ease. If you're struggling, that means ease is round the corner. If you're going through difficulty, comfort is coming. This is the promise of Allah. This Ramadan, spend this Ramadan exploring your furqan, looking for those pathways. Allah's opening the doors. And you're there complaining. No, don't complain. Don't complain. Allah is telling you that this is your jihad this Ramadan, that you're going to struggle, you're going to strive. And each time it's difficult for you, that means Allah is opening a path because you're doing it for Allah. When anyone does anything, even tiny, minute for Allah, Allah gives you so much in return. Because we said earlier, Allah is extremely, what is He? Reasonable. Allah, this, when you read the Quran, that's what you learn about Allah. Allah is so reasonable. There is no one in this world who's going to give you that kind of time of the day, that kind of understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so reasonable. So, then Quran says, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. Whoever experiences the month of Ramadan, you need to fast. Now, alhamdulillah, we're all going to be fasting, right? Everyone's got the intention to fast? Inshallah. Now, an address to my sisters. Sisters get very disappointed during Ramadan, whether it's at the beginning, middle, or end, during their monthly cycle, during their menses, they're unable to fast. And this takes them down like a downer. They're really upset, they're disappointed. Oh no, we can't benefit from the blessings of Ramadan. Now remember one thing. Yes, you might find it challenging and difficult, but who are you fasting for? Allah. Did Allah say you can fast at this time? No. Allah's the one who tells you to fast, and there are certain times when Allah says you don't fast. Ramadan is about submitting to Allah, not just submitting to Allah. It's learning to submit to Allah's wisdom, submitting to Allah's timing. Allah has a time for things. You want it now. Allah says, no, not now, later. This is what Ramadan's about. It's learning to submit to Allah's timing, learning to submit to Allah's wisdom, learning to submit to Allah's methodology and Allah's way of doing things. Like Allah has said, you fast from dawn till dusk. And we all do it, don't we? None of us sit here 10 minutes before Maghrib thinking, do you know what? I'm going to change it a little bit. Let me just have my date. Does anyone do that? Nobody does that. So Allah's showing you, every single one of us, nobody, even the most sinful person amongst us, during the day in Ramadan, nobody thinks, let me go into a corner where nobody's watching and drink a glass of water. Nobody does that. Even the most sinful, this is taqwa, isn't it? What is taqwa is being conscious of Allah. Why don't you do it? Why doesn't a sinful person in Ramadan drink a glass of water when nobody's watching? Because you love Allah. Because Allah has placed that love, that iman. That's your iman. You are a Muslim. Don't let shaitan tell you otherwise. You are a Muslim. You're a good Muslim. Allah loves you. Allah has placed iman inside you. And that is what Allah wants to see for the rest of the year. That you are conscious of Allah. Just like you're doing it now. That you would never drink a glass of water in Ramadan when nobody's watching. So Allah wants, and do you know why it's easy in Ramadan? Because every single one of us, we've made an intention, haven't we? We've all made an intention, we're going to fast for 30 days. So now, during Ramadan, we have to keep reminding ourselves, just like we've made an intention to be Allah conscious in Ramadan, we want to become Allah conscious after Ramadan as well. We're all going to try and do that, inshallah. So, the Quran goes and then tells us, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفِرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. Somebody's ill, somebody's on a journey, a shari'i journey, then you can make up your fast afterwards. Now, in conclusion, I want to mention, Allah says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ, Allah wants ease for you. Allah doesn't want difficulty for you. Now, straight away, some of us are thinking, fasting's hard, man. Standing in Tarawih is hard. How? If Allah is saying easy, how come I find it hard? I find it hard, right? But Allah is saying it's easy. What is He trying to tell us? Allah is telling you and me, you already strive so hard for the world, don't we? Don't we wake up early in the morning to go to work? Don't we stay away from food and drink many times, skip our meals, just to put a loaf of bread on the table? Sometimes we watch a football match 90 minutes standing up without even thinking our legs are tired. Sometimes we're at a theme park and queue for 2 hours to get pleasure for 1 minute and the ride is over. Allah says you already strive in this world for small, meager, trivial things. And the effort you put behind it and what you get from it, there's no comparison. What I'm asking you to do is fast. But what I'm going to give you in return is everlasting. You cannot compare. In comparison to that, it's very easy. That's what Allah is saying. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah doesn't want difficulty for you. Never. Never. Allah does not want difficulty for anyone. Allah isn't like that. Allah wants it to be easy for you. And Allah has made this. You have to believe. You have to believe. This is the easiest it could have ever been. In comparison to what you're going to get, what Allah is going to give you. And we know the hadith very well. every action of the human being will be multiplied by 10, and the angels will give you the reward, except for fasting. Why? Because every action, there's an involvement of other people. If I perform salah, right, it's not just purely for Allah, because other people can see as well. So I'm going to get the benefit of being known as a person who prays. When I read Quran, other people are going to hear me. I'm going to get known as a qari of the Quran. When I do dhikr, people will call me a dhakir. When I go for hajj, people will call me a haji. When I do any kind of good deed, I'm going to get something with it as well. But when I fast, does anyone know that I'm fasting? No one's going to call you sa'im. Nobody. Nobody goes around. No, you know haji sahab, namazi sahab. You know, you hear these titles. Oh, this guy's a Sufi. There's a lot of dhikr. You will not hear anyone being called a sa'im, or roza sahab, or whatever you want to call them. You won't. Because fasting is in the stomach. It's hidden. Nobody can see it. Only Allah can. Who knows if you're going, you know, in your house and eating a meal and coming back and telling us that? We don't know. So because it's purely done for Allah, the reward is going to be unimaginable. And that's why Allah says, fasting is for me, and I will personally give the reward for fasting. Fasting is for me, and Allah says, I am the reward of fasting. When you've got Allah, you've got everything. Each fast is so valuable, that's why there is no number given to you. On other deeds, you know, it's multiplied by 10, 20, 70, 100 rewards, a million rewards. Fasting, how much reward will you get? It's so much you cannot quantify it, Allah says. I am the reward, Allah says. You've got Allah. When you've got Allah, you've got, it's a very unique type of ibadah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. My last plea to everybody. We have to make Ramadan a really big deal. Weddings in Asian culture and other cultures as well make such a big deal out of weddings. We make such a big deal out of birthdays. We make such a big deal out of anniversaries. Our young children growing up, they see what we do. And they give importance to things according to us. Our children are seeing us. Mom and dad think weddings are a big thing. So they have, like, when we grow up, yeah, we have to really plan for the weddings. Birthdays are a big thing. Anniversaries are a big thing. Valentine's is a big thing. Halloween's a big thing. Ramadan, oh, has there anything changed in our houses? Ramadan's like in 2 days. Has our house changed? Is there anything different in the home? Or does it look like the same house? Have we made any preparations? Is your house Ramadan ready? The masjid's going to have a vibe. But you, the ladies, the children will be spending most of their Ramadan at home. And it's going to be school holidays as well. Let's create a Ramadan vibe within the home. Change things around a little bit. Put some things away. Take some things out. Have Islamic books specifically for Ramadan for your children. Have games and toys. They're not going to be fasting. They need to be excited to fast. Think about when you were young. Did you love Ramadan or you hated it? Because it was boring. There was nothing for you to do. Think about your children. Think about their future. We need to instill within them the love of Ramadan. Make it exciting for them. Yes, I know you get things for their birthdays, but Ramadan is, we have to make so much of a big deal. Living in a Western country, this is one of the things that we lose out on, the disadvantage. Yes, alhamdulillah, we can practice our religion, but there is no atmosphere, there is no vibe. You go to Muslim countries and you can tell it's Ramadan. Everyone's celebrating Ramadan. There's a big deal. The houses are adorned with Ramadan. Make the most of, we have this weekend. So I implore you, this weekend, get together with your families. And get your homes Ramadan ready. Number one. Number two, any Eid shopping that you need to do, get it done this weekend. So you can dedicate the rest of the month, inshallah, to the focus and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we celebrate Ramadan with our families, with our children, make sure we have some collective time where we're making dua together, especially for the people of Palestine, especially for the people of Gaza. You know what they're going through. The starvation. You know when you eat your khajur and your date at the time of iftar? Remember those people. Remember those people who are going through starvation. And despite that, many of them will be fasting as well. Make a dua for them. Ramadan is a time of dua. Teach your children how to be compassionate and sympathetic towards the ummah as well. It's not just about, we're living in a world where it's about me, myself, and I. Ramadan is a time and opportunity for you to spend time with your children to teach them that we are much bigger than ourselves. It's not just about me, myself, and I. We are here for another reason. We have another purpose. We are here to serve the humanity. Teach them what's going on, what they can do as Muslims, and ensure that we keep those people in our du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.